Good evening, folks. It is November 29, 2017. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is a courtroom observer's call. I hope everyone is healthy and feeling good today. We have news from Nevada Bundy trial. You know, here since the trial began, they've been catching the prosecutors in lies and cover-ups, and the defense is bringing it all out into the open, not making the prosecutors look too good. And today, something big happened. They ordered all four defendants to be released. I was hoping it meant they dismissed the case, but it doesn't appear that to be the case. It looks like they're just releasing them. Well, I can't really call it pretrial release because the trial is going on, but at least release them to where they can be with their wives. They aren't in the prison anymore. They may not be released till tomorrow, but the order was given that they be released. And for some reason, we don't have... I don't have all the word on it yet. I haven't had a chance to listen to the last report from John Lamb. But the courtroom was sealed today. Nobody allowed in. Or at least the last word I got, that was the case. So... I think it's getting interesting. I know the judge is finding out that the prosecutors are doing a lot of lying and hiding of evidence, and she's getting a little fed up with what they're doing. So, and I guess now for national... You know, we told you that the Marines invaded Langley, and it's tough trying to vet all this information because of the secrecy, because of the way it's being done. It's almost impossible to totally vet it, but all our sources are telling us that it happened. And today a video came out from one of them. And it seems that when the Marines went in, they confiscated all the computers. And on those computers was all the evidence, all the names, all the info on Deep State and different people involved, and it appears that from what was said is that there was more information found on the assassination of Kennedy, President Kennedy, and that George H.W. Bush was involved in that. That's the old man. And it talks about Clinton and the murders that have been committed, and it just goes into everything. And right now there's arrests going on around the world in different governments and different agencies. And it just opened up Pandora's box. And I'm told now there's 4,000 indictments. So it looks like good things are happening, and those are things that's going to bring back our constitutional republic. There was 275 or 76 MS-13 gang members arrested on pedophile charges. And I don't know, I'm quite sure there's been other arrests, but I don't know for sure. Now the FBI has been neutralized. So, you know, they're rounding up and identifying all the deep state. And it looks like they have everything they need now. All I can say is things are getting very exciting and things are happening fast and furious. So that's the news that I have. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or anything on that?
This Jim in New Mexico, Robert, that is, you know, great news.
Well, I think it is.
That's the best news report I think you've given, you know, the fact that they finally let, you're talking about the Bundys were released, right?
Right. That was, we were hoping that it was dismissal of the trial, but at least they're not,
you know,
in prison.
Man's freedom immediately is one of the most important cherished things in life. So
yes, it is.
That's a tremendous thing, you know.
Well, even Ryan Payne, who was found guilty in charges in Portland, was ordered released. That was unbelievable.
And then I hesitate to say anything about George Bush Sr. Because he's a very evil man. And a very dangerous man.
Yes, he is. And
that's great news too.
Well, they're taking down the Bushes. Well, they also have Jeb Bush involved in some stuff. I forget exactly what it was, but they have Jeb Bush. His name was on the computers. And we know now that Clinton paid 6 Republicans to go against Trump on everything. She started out during the campaign, started paying these people. I mean, that was John McCain, Paul Ryan, Fiore. A couple others, probably McConnell, but there are 6 of them she was paying to work with her to get rid of Trump.
And Robert, this is Jan in Kansas. John Lamb's latest video, he says that Mr. Bundy, Cliven Bundy, said he's not leaving because he said he's not leaving until he's a free man and until the rest of the men who've been imprisoned are also let go.
Well, that's would be who Cliven Bundy is.
That's what you call him.
I hope those BLM males are watching a real man and taking some notes on that.
Well, they found a BLM agent lying on the stand yesterday.
Yeah, I'm keeping up with it pretty close. I agree with you. It's getting really interesting.
Yes. Well, I think it's going to fall apart more and more as it goes on. I found it interesting that a few days ago they had a BLM official on the stand, and Ryan Bundy was cross-examining, and the guy's praising Bundy for his knowledge of the Constitution and admitted that he had never read the Constitution, had no idea what was in it. And so Ryan handed him his dog-eared pocket Constitution and asked him to read from it. The judge allowed it. The guy was reading from it. And the prosecutors were sitting there with their heads in their hands like they were, oh, no, not this. Tell me this ain't happening. So it seems like every day they come out with something new. They find somebody lying. They find information that's been hidden by the prosecutors. I want to find out why the court was sealed today. They must have had some great conversations going on.
That means there was no audience?
No audience.
John Lamb said he could hear arguing, that when they were out in the hall or wherever they were, that they could hear arguing going on. It got kind of loud, I guess.
I can imagine.
Could be the judge saying, well, if I'm going to prison, then you're going to prison too, prosecutor.
There might have been some of that going on, too. Well, I would say somebody has talked to the judge.
That's Navarro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say somebody has gotten a hold of her and rattled her cage a little bit.
You know, they're just all operating on that the power is protecting them. And
mm-hmm.
So the second they see it's not protecting them, they're gonna run like scared rats.
Yeah, well, I'm told a few days ago that, and I haven't seen it, I haven't heard it myself yet. I got to find it if it's available. But I heard that Jeff Sessions, in a speech, told the federal judges that they better start obeying the Constitution. If anybody has heard that speech or saw it, I'd like to know about it.
I heard it once, Robert. It was about 2 weeks ago, and it didn't strike me as that stringent. But, you know, sometimes you just don't know what words they're saying until there's an action that takes place. And then, for me anyway, just getting into this in the last few years, and then you look back and go, oh, so that's what they meant by that. It sounded so innocuous when they were saying it. But it is out there.
I can imagine if he said it, the judges didn't take it as innocuous.
Right. Exactly.
Well, things are definitely happening. I was saying my Nisi Prius court case that is gone on for 1 year, my little old me fighting the $70 billion New Mexico state budget, the Nisi Prius courts has my information today have dismissed all charges against me. And that's
did they?
Done. Yes, they did, and that's done other than the cleanup. So.
All right.
It involved what John has taught everybody, where you take it into federal court. Federal court judges get involved in it and do their best to protect the other judges, but at the same time tell them, you know, you better clean that up because I don't want trouble from this, and it pretty much was just like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it is. And then you talk about this stuff on a much grander level. It becomes great news.
Yeah.
Things really are happening. And then
yeah.
I sense the Lord is involved in all this.
Oh, I sense that too.
Not to mention the desire of many good people who've come out of the blue to get involved in this.
Well, let me tell you what a couple of guys in the video from the courthouse in Nevada said today on their video. They saw this very strange rainbow. You know how usually it goes from the ground up around the sky and somewhere out there it hits the ground again?
Right.
This one was sideways, and it was just over the courthouse.
Wow.
Praise
creation.
One of them took a picture of it, and they said they were going to publish it on Facebook. I'm looking forward to that.
My whole experience in life is I operate from the force that is within myself and is within everybody if they just answer it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's there. It's real. And if
well,
you're
I
trying
think...
To...
I think we're seeing the power of the individual. If they put their effort through.
I agree.
That's right, Robert. And Mr. Bundy, and I don't know who else, but at least Mr. Bundy already has a lawsuit, I understand, already has a lawsuit filed against the judge and the prosecutors. And I don't know who all else. And it sounds like that Larry Klayman from Judicial Watch is handling that, but they say that he doesn't win his cases. So I don't know whether that's good or bad, but Mr. Bundy is going to, I mean, he must be quite a man to be able to stand up under all this and then turn around and flip it, you know, after all this just duress and stress that he's been under, and then to go ahead and have his lawsuit filed and to plow right on into that. I mean, I'm really gaining. I've always thought he must be a wonderful man, but I'm just really gaining even more respect for him to see, you know, how he's kind of like just a big lion or a bull standing there, and he's not backing off. And I mean, it's just good to see that.
He is a man. He is very honest. He very much believes in the Constitution, and he can cite it to you. He is, you know, he's a man that believes in being free, and he's willing to fight for it.
Yeah,
doesn't
and
matter
he's
the cost,
honorable.
He's willing. He is honorable and willing to fight for what's right, and he'll fight for others as well as himself.
Right.
And that's the way America is supposed to be. It's the way America always was. And you don't see it so much anymore, and it's so wonderful to see it in others.
Robert, there was a couple weeks ago, there was Mike Pence said on the Fox News channel, I was listening to it. Mike Pence said that the Constitution of the United States must be obeyed in the courts in America. That's what I heard. not maybe not exact words, but there was the essence. And I could call a few friends if they're listening. And I must admit it, I normally usually go to verify it, go and then YouTube and try to find it, but I didn't do it. I got a lot of things to do. But I maybe they also the Attorney General Sessions said the same thing, but I heard it myself, and I can testify to it on the radio from Mike Pence.
Yeah, well, I know Mike Pence has said it. He said it more than once. But I'm told that Jeff Sessions did in a speech, and I just want to find that and have that. John Durash wants to see it.
Well, like
I told him about it.
Like the Mr. Trump said in the beginning of his, when he won the election, that this country belongs to you people, not to the Washington. What else
That's
do you
right.
know?
And he is returning this country to us. We must be ready to help him.
We never lost it. It was hijacked.
Yeah, it was hijacked. We didn't lose it. And we still haven't lost it. We are, you know, it's just been, we've been attacked. And
we are
we're
occupied,
winning.
Temporarily occupied by those privileged 1%.
Yep. But we're still alive and we're still fighting and we will come out on top. But with all this information on the CIA computers, they're taking down people all around the world now. See, this is a global event. So, I'm excited. I'm going to be more excited as this goes on. I think it's going to, especially when it all comes out public. Right now, I'm struggling trying to vet everything, and it's very difficult trying to do that. So I have to rely on others a lot, and I don't just go with one source. I look at everyone I can find that may have information, and when they have information that's the same, then I start giving it some credibility. And of course there are some people, some sources that are always credible, and then there's some that's not so credible. They also, in that video today, it talked about Alex Jones being a traitor and being an informant.
You're kidding.
No, it really
I've got to look at that. What video is that?
Oh, it's let's see. It's from Benjamin Fulford. And it's on YouTube. Huge actionable intelligence haul from the CIA.
Boy, I could tell stories about my last 4 or 5 years. Alex Jones, I was following after Sandy Hook, and I was blogging furiously on his site. I think I was one of the first people brave enough to say, look at the bushes. They're behind this. I lost about $250,000 in the stock market suddenly right after that. Cash
yeah.
money. And the bushes are great friends with a group who control the stock market company I was with, and somewhere in there in 2013, Alex Jones starts his Monday show by announcing, he's describing how when he went through customs getting back to the United States, he just returned from Grand Cayman Island. And I immediately questioned him through a blog. I said, you know, at that time we were in a very heightened state about the gun control being pushed by Obama over Sandy Hook, taking away our Second Amendment. And Alex Jones really was a big leader at that time. He had appeared in a big assembly at the Alamo, you know. And I see he's gone to Grand Cayman Island just the way he said it, coming back in. He goes, bam, and the customs agents, okay, you can come in. It was like a sheepish excuse, he said, was making. And so I said, you're in Grand Cayman Island, that's the Rothschild stronghold, the international money stronghold. That's where you go to launder money, to send it off to Switzerland. And I just asked him in a roundabout way, I said, you know, George Washington did that in 1776 and said, I think I'll take the weekend off and vacation in London. That'd be a very dangerous position to put oneself in. And Alex Jones' response was, well, if you think you can do a better job. And he never answered the question. And that's all I wanted was, you know, some sort of reasonable, you know, answer, anything, because up until that point, I totally trusted him. And now you're making this statement about a video.
Well, probably 5 years ago, probably, most of us in the Patriot community had a great mistrust of him. And I think for the most part it was because the feds were trying to take down all the Patriot talk radio shows and everything. But nobody was bothering Alex Jones.
Said that many times, how he's successful as he was fighting the New World Order. And whereas the rest of us, like my experience, you know, I was attacked financially. So the year before, I'd made almost $100,000 in the stock market with that money.
Yeah.
Because I'm not an idiot. I don't want to say I'm William Binney, but he described himself as he has a talent for just recognizing oddities in numbers, sequences, and that's the way my brain works too. I can see repetitions and latch onto them. And anyway, everybody's been injured one way or the other. So
absolutely.
And I certainly know with my little experience being kidnapped and thrown in prison over traffic tickets in EC Prius courts, how awful that is to just spend 36 hours in a state prison with a bunch of junkie addicts, heroin addicts. And, you know, for what Cliven Bundy, just to be, although he's decided to stay, but for the opportunity to be free and out of that, those are stink holes. So the rest of the men, they're leaving tomorrow, you said, hopefully?
Well, just before I came on, I did see a message that said Ammon was being released tomorrow.
Yeah, they still got the trial, so they just get to go stay in a hotel or something, or with family.
Probably a halfway house.
Yeah, okay.
But they, being at the halfway house, then they at least get to visit their families and go out with them and stuff.
Excellent. As I said, President Trump could go down as being, you know, as famous as Washington and Jefferson or Andrew Jackson.
Well, you know, if he pulls this off to the completion, he'll go down as the greatest president in history.
That's very high praise.
Well, I think he will deserve it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's very high praise.
Yes, it is. But you know,
and boy, it's about time.
In my lifetime, I cannot think of anybody else that's doing more or has done more. Right now, they're talking about him being thought of as great as Reagan. But I'm thinking that if he pulls this off and brings back the Constitutional Republic, then he's done more than any other president in history has done.
Yeah, I would say it's far beyond Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
Far above, not beyond. Above and beyond.
Far above, yeah.
Up there in that rainbow that you were describing.
Well, you know, that many of us have thought for a long time that there was a higher power involved in what's happening. And for the good. And that's, you know, to me, that's kind of a sign that we were right. I know I've never seen a crosswise rainbow.
I was an avid bicyclist all my life since I was a kid, right on through. And in the days before all this chaos really got extremes, and say about 1998 leading up to 9/11, I used to constantly see, you know, double rainbows out there, you know, just beautiful scenes, and I'd like to see all that happen again. That's what Planet Earth is all about.
Well, you know, the other day I saw a rainbow here that I had never seen before. It was two rainbows side by side with a gap in between.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fascinating.
Well, you know, they're equated with a pot of gold, which could be a treasure, and a treasure could be liberty.
Well, that's very true. So it's, but I do believe the higher power has sent us a message that these guys, these defendants are not alone. They're not forgotten.
And I was thinking about Lavoie Sinicum a while ago, when as you described Clive and Bundy's manhood, and I thought about how sad it is that we lost Lavoie Sinicum. I watched his video of him being a rancher and him describing right after a rain how sweet the air smells, and he loves that, and he preferred staying with that rather than fighting the government.
Right.
And he was taking a stand right there, and I totally understood what that man meant by that. So he so was connected with nature, with independence. I'm guessing, though I don't know, a smaller cattle rancher than Clive and Bundy, but the same thing. And I've experienced living with the nature because of what my father taught me. He was New Mexico Wildlife Conservation Chairman for over 20 years and was taking me to the woods when I was a little boy. And so I understand exactly what this sweet smell of a fresh rain, and you're there with Mother Nature, you're there with God, you're there with creation, with the rainbows, and that's the most beautiful place you want to be. And only a fool would argue with crooks in a courtroom. I can totally understand Mr. Sinicum. I'm sorry we lost him.
Yeah, we lost a good man right there. Look at the Mrs. Sinicum, how strong she is, and look at the Bundy wives, how strong they are. I mean, and even the daughters, a real strong, God-fearing families, all of them. And it really tells a story about strength in God. Every true Christian that really truly believes, I find them to be very strong people.
Once you've experienced the strength of overcoming a challenge, and you feel the force of God with you on your shoulders, or you on God's shoulders, whatever it is, you know it's real, you know it's powerful, and you just continue to develop your life with that.
Yes. Well, I could tell a story on my experience there. I'll tell you, there was no way that I could not be a believer after some of these things happened to me.
Tell it.
Oh, it just, I was very depressed for a while over some things that was going on. I've been through a divorce and raising a developmentally disabled son, and I was injured and unable to work and really having a bad time. And there was a lake on my property, and I'd go out there in the evenings in the moonlight, and I'd just crying out to the Lord for help. And later on, I was online and I was talking to this lady, and she says, you know, I really get a funny feeling when I'm talking to you. Do you feel that? And I said, yes, will you marry me? And she said, yes. Well, she was across the country from me. And it turns out that she had relatives near where I was at. And so she made arrangements to come out to visit them and to meet me at that time. And we did. And I'll tell you, most beautiful lady that I've ever dated. And we didn't get married, but later on, I was in Bible study with her relatives. They were teachers. And I was sitting there on a Sunday evening, and he was reading from the Bible, and all of a sudden, the whole room went pitch black. And all the sounds stopped. And I wasn't there anymore. But I didn't know where I was at. But I wasn't scared. And I felt like I was in a cave. I could not see my hand in front of my face. And all of a sudden, this great big boulder began to glow. Reddish. And grayish. It was like a huge giant charcoal, big charcoal briquette. But on top was this big tablet, and at the top it was all lit up. The pages were bright white, and there was writing on this tablet, big letters. And I thought I was reading it. And it was telling the story about how I had been crying out to the Lord for help, and I was so distraught that I did not hear him answering me. And so he had to send out an angel to take me by the hand to lead me to help. And then I realized, I don't recognize these letters. I can't be reading this. Hebrew or something. I don't know. It was just different shapes and stuff. I remember triangle-shaped letters and different things. And that's when I realized that I was being spoken to in spirit, but I was understanding everything. And it was just describing everything perfectly, that whole time that I had lived through there. And when I began to smile, suddenly I was back in the room, and I was hearing the teacher again. And nobody knew I was gone, but the lights were back on and everything. And I was just so amazed. It was just real. And I felt like all my troubles had been washed away, that everything was beautiful. So I have no doubt that the Lord had a talk with me one-on-one. And so there's no way I could ever say he does not exist.
Well, you have to be a brave man to achieve things, or a brave woman to achieve things when there's huge obstacles there. So to try to avoid it, you know, is just consenting with whatever the evil character of the situation is. So you have to stand up to it if it takes a lifetime or four lifetimes.
Yeah. And, he has never left my side since, really.
No, good for you.
I've had a few bouts of depression and stuff because I have PTSD and all, but I even remember a time when I was depressed. It was some time after that talk, and some other things had been happening, and I'm laying in bed and trying to go to sleep, and I just couldn't keep my eyes shut. I had every light turned out. It was pitch black. And I was just squeezing my eyes shut, trying to force myself into sleep. And suddenly I felt somebody looking at me. I opened my eyes, and there was this woman standing at the foot of my bed. My heart was racing. I was trying to figure out whether, you know, what I should do. Should I say something? Should I try to jump up and grab her? Shall I try to reach my gun under the mattress? How should I handle this? And then I started thinking a little more sanely, realized it was so dark that if she was really standing there, I could not see her. It was that dark. But I could describe her with a full-length white gown. And then I saw wings extending out from her back. And suddenly I felt like $1 million, and I started smiling. And when I did, she just kind of lifted up off the floor and drifted sideways right through the wall and gone. And it was a few days later, I went to visit my developmentally disabled son. And I didn't say anything to him about this. And he told me a story about how an angel had come to see him the night before and told him that everything would be okay. And he described her just exactly as the one I saw.
used to hear a lot of stories like that as a child by the adults. It kind of disappeared in life, you know. I think everybody became NFL TV fans and were brainwashed. So
yeah, well, I've had those incidents, and if
anybody can show us how to create a universe and a galaxy and a solar system or two, then they can probably explain to us the grand picture.
Yep.
But other than that, we are, you know, I used to say we're like a cow in a pasture chewing our cud, living our life, but don't really understand the big picture yet. So.
Well, we don't, and we have become so brainwashed and so dumbed down that we may never.
Well, if you can say you tried, then you've done the best you can do.
Well, you know, that's all we can ask of anybody is to do your best and never stop trying. Always try to do the right thing. You can never fail as long as you keep trying.
That's what I learned is don't give up your dreams and they will come true. They will come true.
Well, I believe that.
I've bred a purebred line of dogs for 43 years, Weimaraner, and the very first male and female I had were stolen from me when they were very young. And I got an indication early on that they were stolen and certain people involved, but to make a long story short, I was a young man in my early 20s. I never quit looking for those dogs, and all my peers told me, forget it, they're gone, you know, you're immature, it's done, and I never quit looking for them, and 6 months later, they came back to me. The man that had actually stolen them saw enough evidence of me continually seeking them out that he called me up on the phone one Saturday morning and said, I think I got your dogs, and that taught me. Don't give up on the thing you love.
Yep. Well, that's for sure. You never give up.
And have no
ever. Go ahead.
Always find it. No ignorance. Right?
Right. Well, I think probably we're all ignorant of some things. We can't know it all. All we can do is do our best and live our life in the best way possible and always try to do the right thing. And you know, being ignorant is not a shame. It just means that you're not perfect. You don't know everything.
Yeah, you just haven't been educated on a particular subject. Doesn't mean you're stupid. You just lack the knowledge of a particular subject or two.
That's it.
Such as until we all rediscover the Constitution. It was there 3 or 4 months of study, and you've got it pretty well understood, especially if you're a member of the NLA. And things are like that, so.
Yep.
That was the education system, being dumbed down.
Well, you know, the Constitution was, that was an awakening for me, just learning the Constitution.
It's all there in black and white.
It is, and it's written in a way that everyone can understand it. There is nothing hidden. There is no double meaning on anything in it. It's just straightforward. And
and a person has to be resolute about it to defend it against, you know, all enemies, foreign and domestic, who may have so much money and so much resource that they send in agents, waves of, how did Brent Winters describe it? Waves of, they call it waves of government, swarms of government people to eat out our substance. And so you have to be
like
resolute to realize who they are. That's the enemy. And don't let them overpower your thoughts. Don't let them overpower the real Constitution and what it stands for, the substance of it.
That's one thing I find, though, you know, is when you're good and you don't have evil thoughts and you live your life the way it needs to be lived, then quite often we become gullible to those who do have the evil thoughts and want to take advantage of us, because we don't want to believe that they're bad. And so it takes us a while sometimes to see that they are bad. I know that's the case with me. I want to see, I look for the good, and...
In my younger days, I was like that. The minute I saw Bill Clinton running for president, I knew who he was. The minute I heard that Ronald Reagan had picked George Bush Sr. to be vice president, I said, you don't bring a CIA chief into the presidency. That's runs the separation of powers. And
But
I understand, it's part of wanting to care for people, to help people, and they can take advantage of you. So.
I started seeing the truth while I was in Vietnam in 1968.
That you did.
Yeah. That's when I began to see the truth about our government.
Yeah. You really saw it. I was sensing it the year later, going through the draft, not getting drafted, not seeking a deferment in college to be an architect, and knowing Canada was there. If I wanted to exit, but just knowing from the demonstrations and stuff, there wasn't something right about government. And, of course, we now all know now what their purpose was, basically the money-making machine of war. Power.
Yep, that's it.
So I hope you didn't have too bad of experience. Is that where you got the PS post-traumatic from, Vietnam?
Yes.
Yeah. I can imagine. I've got buddies that were infantry on the ground in Vietnam, coming back with the Agent Orange skin problem, and just being there fighting and literally getting sprayed either from above or just crawling through it on the ground.
Yeah, I've got the Agent Orange stuff, and
most of them handle it pretty good. Yeah. Most of them handle it pretty good.
Yep. All they can do is their best. But it's, I don't know. You know, I was more than glad to go, thinking I was already in the military at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my duty to go and was happy to, but midway through my time, I was really seeing the truth and seeing how much of a nightmare it really was and how evil the government was being. And I was seeing the lies, and was even seeing how the lies of the media at the time.
And I was seeing how Nixon was not really letting the military do what it needed to do to win quickly, powerfully, and that really bothered me, you know.
Well,
things like Hanoi Harbor, and finally mining it, and, you know, hearing about all the, where the supplies came through. We could have stopped all that, but we didn't. But, of course, that's, you know.
Well, Jane Fonda was responsible for a lot of that stuff.
Somebody finally told me some, I can't remember, about that event that finally convinced me that she really was a wrong, we'll just say wrong. So.
Well, we had the North Vietnamese beaten. I mean, they were out of medical supplies. They couldn't take care of their wounded. They were hungry.
Oh, I remember
they
what it was
get
now.
Enough food.
Yeah. That
and
while
she took
was
a,
there. While she
and
was
she
there,
took a,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well,
no.
She took a plane load of medical supplies and food and stuff with her, and she was hugging on their general, and
yeah, I'm not going to say what I was told because it could be hearsay, and Jane Fonda.
Well,
We had pictures of her
while she was there, and
yeah.
She was just
a famous picture on the tank.
Yeah, and she also they lined up the prisoners to the pilots for her to see. And they had gotten a word that she was going to be there, and so they all wrote little messages on small pieces of paper and stuff with her name and rank and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as she came by shaking her hands, they transferred these pieces of paper to her. And when she finished, she went up to their general and handed them that handful of paper. So,
the Vietnamese general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they all got beaten more and tortured more because of her.
And now on to John McCain, who was one of the longest supposed POWs. And I can't understand how a man could betray his country after an experience like that.
Well, keep from being hurt like all the others, he was telling them anything he could tell them.
Yeah, over there possibly, but I mean coming home and then betraying his country. So
yeah, well,
making
before
a lot of
he
money.
Ever before he ever was captured there, he pulled a stunt on the aircraft carrier that I think it was 167 sailors that he killed. Just pulling a stupid stunt. He was just a hot dog that didn't care about nothing. And he never got anything out of it. His father, the admiral, saved him.
There's a story about that on the internet somewhere?
There is.
Yeah. Never heard about that.
USS Forrestal.
Yep.
Oh my God. I was just a big epiphany last night. I woke up and I said, I need to look up James Forrestal. Jan.
Yeah.
And, James Forrestal was Secretary of Defense from 47 to 49. And he supposedly committed suicide, and I read the story about it last night. And it's the Truman administration basically getting rid of him because he's about to write a book about the corruption. He had the highest intelligence. He was actually in charge of the UFO stories and had the highest intelligence and government on every level. And he was about to turn in the corrupt government. And, you know, they put him in he's perfectly fine, and suddenly he's having a nervous breakdown. Family members can't see him. Nobody can see him. And it looks like the exact same Truman group who kidnapped my father from Roswell in 1947 and locked him up for a year.
Yeah.
To shut him up about the Roswell UFO thing.
Yeah, and, well, a lot of people got locked up over some of that stuff.
Well, they did, and Forrest Hall was, you know, he's like, what, in the top 40 or 50 most important people in the government, you know?
Yep.
Counting Congress and Supreme Court and everybody, and that the government could do that, and that's the formation of the CIA, which was formed 2 months after the 47 Roswell incident, where they could, with full power, we're the Central Intelligence Agency, we tell you it's national security, and you hop to whoever you are, and they could do anything they wanted.
Well, that reminds me, the president has now given Trey Gowdy the highest possible security rating so that none of them can get by with telling him, well, it's higher security than what you're cleared for, so I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Now they have no excuse left.
Could be the James Forrestal reborn.
Yep.
Because it sounds like Forrestal was a very honest man.
But where we're at now, where we're headed, that same thing won't happen to Trey Gowdy because now we're taking down all those people.
Jim, did you know a story of a USS Liberty?
USS Liberty, the one that was shot up by the
Israeli and the Mediterranean.
Israel?
Yep.
The false flag?
Well, Jan, that's part of Forrestal, and it goes back to General Patton, who also was probably assassinated, was they both were aware of the... they both did not want the Israel state to be created. And that's very powerful. I understand John F. Kennedy had rejected letting them have nuclear weapons in the 60s. And the whole Khazarian mafia thing, it's the main street in Israel is called Rothschild Boulevard. The whole Khazarian mafia thing is all about the power of who are not really Jewish people but claim to be prove the Jewish people are good right there. And then I'm not saying anything about the Jewish people. That Israel, the whole plan, it ties into Hitler attacking Jewish people because they wanted to create this state and bring all the Jewish people to it, which became Israel. But the Jews living in Germany, Russia, Ukraine, they had no reason to leave until their homes were destroyed and they were displaced, and it was all a big plan, a big, huge, evil plan. And Forrestal knew that, Patton knew that, and we're trying to stop it. That's what this article says, that Forrestal was making great strides to stop it, so they took him out.
Yep.
There is the Old Testament book of Ezra. Ezra the prophet, read the guys the first chapter at the end that tells you, you must show the papers. If you don't show the papers, you are defiled.
Is that like the mark of the beast?
No. That's the true story. That's, you know, the after the, how they call it, the Israeli... temple was destroyed, but Nabuchodonosor. Then Ezra gave the order to rebuild. Maybe not him, maybe somebody else. But he was in charge to Levites, who are the priests, and he asked the Levites to show the papers. Do they are Levite from Levi tribe or not? So the Ezra and the first chapter that says those who didn't show the papers, they were defiled. You know, it was.
Okay.
You must prove that you are from the tribe. So what you say in the Kazarian, they must show the proof that they from the tribe of, you know, the Israel from years back. There was 12 tribes, which then tribes disappeared. Nobody knows where they, what happened to them after they go to the exile, which what was the Assyrian exile. And they disappear from the history of the world. The only two tribes left, I think, it was the Benjamin and Judah. But if you claim to be, have a connection, according to the God, chosen people must show the papers. If you read the Old Testament, I think it's Book of Numbers, whatever, it tells you now genealogy, how they go through. They exactly... And that's the true chosen people. But they are not there anymore. They lost it.
Well, we've been here for over an hour now. I think it's time that we... It's been very interesting discussion.
Robert, could I give a little update on Joe Robertson?
Oh, yes.
I looked him up today because, you know, just of what's going on. And, what it said online was that he was put into a halfway house. I guess he got 18 months in federal prison. And, you know, we all know that not all of us, but some of us know that he was being diesel therapied and taken from place to place. And not being given medical attention that he needed for the heart attack. And well, anyway, so the online it said that he was released to a halfway house September 1st, and that he was in such bad condition when he got released that they had to take him to the VA, the VA Medical Center for treatment. And so I'm going to be looking into that. I want to try to keep track of him, too, you know,
On him is he was released from the halfway house last Friday to go home.
Good. Yeah, because I didn't...
Does he have a wife? Children
yes.
there?
Okay. As a wife.
Because I really, you know, that John said he's so mistreated. But John says, but if you're polluting a river, that's a no-no. But his was some silt from some disturbed soil on his property, a duck pond, whatever, and it washes 50 miles downslope. You know, it's like some dirt got in our federal river, and shame on you, and we're going to lock you up for the rest of your life, old man. And that's
well.
You know,
see, they
you know.
had expert witnesses that. Willing to testify that he actually improved the property and did not hurt the river, but they would not allow it in court. That was the biggest crime.
Right. And there was a story, so it should have been, you know, a simple, it should have never been prosecuted. The whole thing's corrupt.
No.
There's also a story that when the government knew he was had to be called away from his property, that the government went in there and actually did some digging to create evidence that real.
I don't think they can win a case anymore without doing that. Apparently they're showing competence.
Not anymore. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think.
You know, what monsters, and they're all making 100, 200 grand a year doing that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, they're going down. They're going down. You know, you get... You know, they can't go on forever, and they've been caught up. Their time is up.
Well, I did want to say one more thing about Joe, and then I'll yield. But what I didn't know and hadn't heard was that apparently the place where he put those little puddles, there was a natural spring under the place where he put those ponds, what they're calling ponds, they look like puddles to me, but apparently he knew where those springs broke through every once in a while, and that's where he built up the soil so that he would have the cattle, you know, places for the cattle and the animals to drink. And also, he was using that water that came up from the springs and that was captured from the rain to work on forest fires or wildfires
right.
for his for himself and his neighbors. And so,
well, he made them convenient ponds where the helos could come in with them big containers and dip the water out for the forest fires.
He
actually got permits to do all that too. I understand.
Yeah, the state.
He
had state permits for it all.
So what kind of a ridiculous prosecution? You know, can they?
Well,
the government. I've seen it. I've seen it in the courts with the government. They're ridiculous what they've been doing. So.
Well, they have a judge that's retired, and when they have a case like that, they bring him out of retirement to hear the case because he always goes with the government side.
Well, we certainly want his name, whoever that is.
I said I was only going to say one more thing, but I thought of something else. And really, I mean, he's an honorable man, too, because what he was using his 200 acres for was up there in Montana. They have some kind of a program where they take the guys that are back from war that have PTSD, and Mr. Robertson and his wife were allowing the guys to come on the property and camp and stay there and hunt and fish or whatever, maybe not fish, but hunt, that they were allowing them, the PTSD guys, to come out there and, you know, just kind of get back into the swing of being with people again without all that murdering going on around them. And so he wasn't and is an honorable man, too.
Yeah, and that story sounds like how the federal government got involved then in realizing who Joe Robertson was.
See, Joe Robertson was a Navy veteran, too.
Yeah, Vietnam.
So I and Ollie all in about the same time.
Yeah, he's in his mid-70s, I think,
uh-huh.
Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, 72, 73, I think Joe is. I'm 74. Ollie's like 77.
Uh-huh. Yeah, same generation.
Yep.
I noticed in L.A., it's mostly older people. I don't know how many youngsters there are. They don't give ages, so.
Well.
There's some experience.
We need younger people to carry on, I'll tell you.
Well,
some of us are getting very tired.
Where the dominoes fall, they'll notice it, and then they'll come.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, folks. Well, I enjoyed
Happy
this
holidays.
Evening, and thank you. We'll see you next week, and God bless all of you.
Jan, your research is great, so keep it up.
Okay, thanks.